Welcome to the Gay Buddhist Forum, where teachers from all schools of Buddhism offer their perspectives on the Dharma and its application in modern times, especially for LGBTQI audiences. These talks are offered freely to the world and made possible by appreciative listeners. If you would like to support our efforts to share the Dharma with underserved audiences, please visit gaybuddhist.org. There you can donate, find a list of upcoming speakers, or enjoy many hundreds of these recorded talks dating back to 1996.
Practice for about 30 years or so. She's practiced in the Soto and the Rinzai tradition, both. Student of, I can't remember all the people, but Zentatsu Richard Baker and his son Dorsey, and that's where we actually met and we practiced together at Hartford Street. And we're quite connected and felt a common bond, not only with this song, but working in the lesbian gay Buddhist community. Kai also does healing visualization work with people who are sick with cancer and other life-threatening diseases. She is a wonderful Dharma friend and sister to me, and also is a teacher for me in many ways. And for me anyway, she, by her life, really epitomizes the spirit of the Mahayana tradition. Mahayana, in the sense of the great way being the all-inclusive way, and translating it that way a lot better. And that's really her practice. And I'm really grateful for that. So it makes me very happy to be able to welcome you and also your partner Das Easton, who's here too. Welcome to Wahid.
Thank you, David. I always think of David as my twin. Except for he got the nicer, deeper voice. Well, today's kind of an auspicious day for people in the Vipassana tradition because they're celebrating the Buddha's birthday, and also it's Mother's Day for everyone that chooses to celebrate that as well. If I'm not speaking loud enough, somebody tell me, because I have kind of a soft voice. I decided because it was Mother's Day that it would be a good time to talk about nurturing ourselves. And because I do visualization work, I decided that it would be kind of nice to actually do that together, to do a visualization about nurturing. And so I would like to focus today on mothers, although you might want to try this sometime, the same idea, using the fathering image, you know, later on down the line, and get a balance of the both. But since today's Mother's Day, I thought it would be good to start out with just visualizing about nurturing ourselves. So once again, if we go back into just the space that we were in a little bit ago in a meditation, however you want to sit comfortably, you don't have to sit in any specific posture. You may want to close your eyes. And just follow your breathing for a few minutes, like you do when you start meditating. And just think about the fact that there's actually a mother inside of each one of us. And sometimes, specific times in our lives, at least in my own, I feel a need for mothering. Sometimes I come home and I've had a really kind of hectic day and I walk in the house and I think of the times that I used to do that when I was a kid and my mother would be there and there would be a hot meal. So just think about a time when you needed some mothering. Maybe you were experiencing some fear. Perhaps you injured yourself in some way. Or you felt lonely and needed someone's compassion or someone's love. someone that could give you their full attention and be very accepting of you in that moment? So just allow someone to step into your consciousness. Take a look at that person or being. Might not be a woman, it might be a man. And just allow the emotions that come up seeing this individual to fully wash over you. And picture yourself climbing in that person's lap. And put your head on their chest and see if you can hear their heart beating. Just feel their breath. Smell how they smell. Tell them why you're here today and why you climbed into their lap and why you were seeking out their comfort. And just allow them to nurture you completely and just absorb their kindness. When you feel complete with the experience, then go ahead and open your eyes. Does anybody like to talk about what they experienced?
All right, we don't usually do this, and I think it affected me very much, and I think the other people too. I don't think I've ever had in a meditation hall exactly like this that any Zen priest ever lead me in something like that. It's quite wonderful. It's quite wonderful. I had the experience of my last partner, I guess you didn't know, Richard Nelson, who died in 1988. Actually, he was the one that I sort of sat in his lap, because I used to do that because he was sort of tall. It was just nice to be able to do that again, even though he's dead. It was always a comfort for me. And hopefully vice versa, so that was really nice. remembering that we're all connected, whether people are alive or dead.
Anybody else?
I found it difficult to do. I felt a lot of sadness come up and say, okay, I'm going to imagine someone being here with real kindness nurturing me, and fully focused in that, and not a lot of conditions, not a lot about is it okay, did I do good enough, whatever, right? And it was really hard. My mind just kept, I had to keep bringing my mind back to the image, and that brought up a lot of really old sadness for me. It always startles me how hard it is to imagine that.
I think there are a lot of different images that might come into our minds individually, possibly as a group, for nurturing mothers. You know, I think of one in a gay community as a drag queen, and some people might see a nurturing mother drag queen as a caricature, but I don't, because of my connection with Isan. And I think some people that have a Catholic background might think about the Virgin Mary. I know a lot of times, I certainly in my Buddhist practice have thought about Tara and talked with her and tried to make an archetypical role model for myself, someone that I could find a way to accept and take in, that was a female, that was a positive female image for me. When Isan died, about 3 months before he died, my father died, and I was feeling in a pretty hard place, and I found a therapist that was a man. His name was Jack, and a lot of lesbians in town where I was living in Santa Fe were seeing this guy, and he was a straight man. He was a huge guy. He was about 6'2", from Montana. He had a big beard, and outside, his appearance was, you know, sort of all the scary, wrathful things I could remember from my own father, who was very big and kind of a violent, angry man. But Jack was very soft-spoken and very kind. And the first time I went to talk with him, I felt as if I was safe and that he was actually a very motherly person for me. And I've kept up my connection with him for many years now. It's been about 11 years that we've known one another. And he's my mentor, and I can call him up and talk to him about clients I have. And a lot of times I'll have someone who's very, very ill, and I'll be in the place that probably a lot of you have been in when somebody's in extreme condition. And you just can't think of anything that you feel up against that kind of, you know, suffering they're going through, that you could say that you feel would really have very much meaning. And I was telling him one night about a person that was dying of cancer that had two little children, and I just felt so inept. And he said very softly, you know, they're really lucky that you're there. And I was so embarrassed. I couldn't take it in. I felt like, gee, about this big. And we kept talking. I told him a long list of inadequacies and about myself. And he said again really softly, they're really lucky that you're there. You know, it's really made a lot of difference to me that he said that, because somehow it got inside of me because of his gentleness. And I think it's very hard to be with people when they're suffering, and a lot of people can't do that. It's too uncomfortable for them, and that's really understandable. And I thought, yeah, I can be there. That's a good thing that I can do that. So I'm going to ask you to close your eyes one more time. And again, just take a moment. Just clear your mind out. Don't think about what we've been talking about for a minute. I'm going to ask you to, this time, instead of looking for someone that nurtured you, to actually take a look at your birth mother. And if someone raised you that was not your birth mother, then take a look at that individual. Just let them stand there in front of you. And look at what your response is, looking at that person. Check out your body and what it feels like. Do you feel joy in your chest or tightness in your stomach? Did your breathing change? Take a moment and tell them something that you would like them to hear. Maybe you want to express your appreciation. Maybe you want to tell them something that was really difficult for you growing up with them. Maybe you want to tell them that you're gay. Whatever it is, go ahead and tell them. When you feel like you want to open your eyes, please do. Several years ago, I was walking across my room, and I stubbed my toe really hard on a hassock. It was kind of out in the middle of the floor. And I said out loud, "Oh, you clumsy idiot." And I kind of was taken aback by hearing that. And I stopped and I thought, wow, I've been treating myself this way all my life. And I sat down and I picked up my foot. And I felt really stupid, but I apologized to it. And I said, wow, I'm really sorry I hurt you. And I know that you spend a lot of time holding me up. And something really shifted for me. It was very gradual, but every time I was at work and I would say, you know, I used to work at Green's Restaurant, and I'd say, next pasta that's in the bowl, I'll run upstairs and pee. And, you know, 10 would go by, and and then next time the pizza's cut in half, I'll run upstairs and pee. And I wouldn't really do that. I wouldn't take care of myself on a very elemental level. And after that experience, I really have to honor what's going on for me and kind of slow myself down. So I'm probably not going to stop stubbing my toe, but I can stop and acknowledge that that's kind of a warning sign that possibly I'm not really engaged in mindfulness practice. So I feel that by doing that, by all of our doing that, and being mindful about ourselves and nurturing for one another and for ourselves individually, that we can be kinder to each other. And we have some time left if anybody would like to talk about their own experience of the visualization or any experience that they would like to share around that themselves. Yeah.
I think I'm going to talk about the last piece, which is your invitation for us, for me, to basically address my mother. Mm-hmm. This week is the 18th anniversary. This is my mother died, so I've actually been thinking about her a bit. And in about 10 days, it will be the 100th anniversary when she was born, so this month has pieces. And one of the parts of myself that I've had some difficulty facing and addressing is the fact that many people have said to me, actually quite directly, that they experience me as very maternal. Mm-hmm. And there is a piece of me that's pulled back from that, you know, sort of has found that painful and difficult. Mm-hmm. And when I faced my mother right now, the first thing that came to me was to say to her, you know, I very much like you. Mm-hmm. And that thought has never really crossed my mind, because I think, like many people, I simply have always taken for granted how loving and present and challenging and difficult, you know, she was for me. But I really do understand that a major source of my capacity to be a loving human being comes from my experience of her and being so loving. And so that, to open it really deeply up to myself, is a way of allowing myself to be more present. Mm-hmm. And it's okay that it's challenging. It's okay that I can't do it perfectly. It's okay that I can only do it the best I can do, you know, piecemeal. So, you know, thank you for this piece.
Challenging things keep me awake.
Exactly.
My mother is actually arriving on Tuesday evening. And on Friday, we're going to China, and it's my first trip. It's, she wants to share the family stuff. Mm-hmm. And we've been processing for the last couple of months, because we both know it's going to be a really intense trip for both of us. Mm-hmm. She's 80, and so this is probably her last trip. And there's just a lot of fear of both parts around the intensity. it's unknown. We don't know what it's going to be like in 5 months. So it was really a time for you to look at that fear.
It's interesting, as you know, I've been doing some work the last year or two, a couple of years on abuse stuff. And I found myself, I put to see my mother later today, and I live with my family in the Bay Area. I told my mother I forgive her for not protecting me from my father.
Mm-hmm.
Actually. Because I think she was just as fearful of him as I was, maybe more so, because she knew his capacity to be harmful to all of us, or to us, most especially to me, being the only boy in the family. I still got his wrath, but I've been angry with her for a long time. I think it's just recently that I'm being able to just look at her and see what her situation was. She didn't really have the ability to do anything at that particular time. She tried to protect me, I think, as best she could, but I don't think she had the wherewithal to be able to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So it was nice to do that, actually. I've never really done that before. Actually, I looked at it. Maybe I'll talk to her today a little bit about that. Mm-hmm. She has a hard time dealing with it.
Mm-hmm.
She just breaks down every time we talk about it, so she doesn't kind of let me go any further. So.
Yeah.
But that was quite wonderful. So. But I just give her an extra kiss or something.
And today was my mother's birthday, actually.
Mm-hmm.
My father used to give her a shoe for her birthday and a shoe for Mother's Day. They usually matched. Parents were very practical people. One of the little tricks I use in dealing with my parents, and I came from a fairly abusive household as well, is that I go back in time and I think of an instance that was kind of awful, and I think of how old my mother was, and then I think of how old, you know, at that age, how old I was, and what my consciousness was like, you know, I was 8 and my mother was 35. I think about what I was like when I was 35 and how would I have handled that situation. And it makes it a lot easier for me to forgive the situation because some areas I was developed in when I was 35, but on an emotional level to deal with abuse and to, you know, lots of stuff going on, I didn't have a pattern for it. I didn't have a role model. I didn't have a support system. And I know that she didn't either. And it makes it easier to forgive the situation. And I think that's, you know, probably the best I can do. And then try to deal with the deficit of not having the type of wholesome, you know, nurturance that would have been, you know, really idyllic to have. And I don't think that any of us have a totally idyllic upbringing, you know. So it's good that we can nurture one another by doing this kind of practice. That's a wonderful way to nurture one another, just to be together. I know after I sat at Zen Center for years and years, and it was a city Zendo, so a lot of times people would come and go, and they didn't participate in a lot of the other activities, so I didn't see them, you know, in a basis where I could speak with them, but I could feel their presence. And over the years, I really came to understand how beneficial that was to me and how supportive that was, that we were all there together and we were all just focusing, you know, by taking the same posture and by breathing together, that we were really solidly doing something consistent. And, you know, for a lot of us that grew up in households that were hard to be in, that kind of consistency means a whole lot. Just a safe, quiet place with everybody agreeing to be there in a, you know, very peaceful way.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you for listening to the Gay Buddhist Forum. If you would like to hear several new talks per month and be notified of upcoming speakers so you can participate live, please subscribe to this podcast, like us on Facebook, and join our mailing list by visiting gaybuddhist.org.